Hello, everybody.
Yes, get us started.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the intro.
Negative, Ghost Rider, negative.
Oh, you can do the intro, Sin. Come on. No?
Nah, nope.
On the fly? Just something? No? Okay. You shy? Sin is shy, everyone.
He's trying to shoot the mans.
Yeah, trying to shoot the mans. Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 102 of the Garden Hill Podcast, where we talk Destiny and our love of the game. We try to get Sin to read the intro, but he doesn't like to. So instead, you're here to hear from us, where we sometimes bring on different guests and communities to learn about them, their experiences in Destiny, and discuss other topics. Your hosts, as always, are Kingsley Mack and Des Raven. How you doing, Des?
I'm doing all right.
Good. I think we should bring on a third host one of these days.
Right.
And your guest this week?
My guest this week is Sin. Sin, how are you doing?
Fairly well. Thank you guys for having me on. I mean, it's been a while since I've actually been on the podcast.
Long time listener, first time caller.
Yeah, something like that.
So tell us about yourself. No.
Oh, you mean, you know.
Whatever.
Whatever. My non-playing this week?
Again,
non-playing?
You've wanted to, right?
There's really only one thing that I want to do. I still want that flawless emblem for the Presage Master.
Mm.
I've been waiting for Des Raven to take me through.
See, if you really want it that bad, you can start in every free moment that you have to game, even just look for an LFG group. But I don't know if you want it that bad, because that would be a pain too.
Yeah, that would be a pain.
Yeah. But it is an option.
It could be.
But how was your week with other stuff? I mean, anything else interesting going on? I saw in the Discord today, just, you know, doing some cooking, grilling, crap like that.
Smoking a pork shoulder. And it has come to my attention that these bear claws are apparently make your life so much easier when it comes to shredding for like pulled pork and pulled beef and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have them. And I tried to pull it with like two regular forks, and that didn't work too well. So I will be investing in these bear paws for making my pulled pork life that much easier.
Well, what didn't work well? Are you just saying the fact that you can go quicker with the bear claws?
Quicker and easier, because it didn't go very easy.
Oh, okay. Because I've used forks before, and it went perfectly fine, but I could see bear claws being a lot quicker and nicer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it can go okay. I mean, it just felt like it took longer than it should have.
Yeah. You know, another trick, and you wouldn't necessarily want to do this with a nice smoked meat that you want to present well and then keep the char on ends of it and stuff. But if you're just making like just a cheaper quality, like you want to make like pulled chicken or something, or shredded chicken, once it's cooked for a long time, you just put it in a... like one of those big blenders, you know, those KitchenAids, if you have one. I know it sounds weird, but you can put it in that, and that'll just kind of tear it up really quick. And like within 10 seconds, it's instant perfect shredded chicken.
It almost like sounds like puree chicken.
No, it's not. It's, again, it's not like I said blender at first wrong. Not a blender, but it's those smaller, those slower mixers, like the big dough mixers, you know, those KitchenAids.
Oh, no, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, they go slow.
No, but as the joke goes, Kingsley likes to drink his chicken through a straw.
Gross. I believe it.
Some, add a little bit of water. Puree.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they're like the bread makers and whatnot.
Yeah. KitchenAid's mixers. One of the names. Yeah, the KitchenAid big mixer things, but you don't have to get that brand. They have cheaper ones too. But
Ninjas.
Yeah, what's that?
No, it's not a blender. It's a
mixer.
Yeah, it's
maybe if
it's
we feel
to describe.
We can put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, probably.
I'll try to make notes to
get for on those that don't frequent the Food Network. Mm-hmm. That's how I know what they are. I used to watch the crap out of Food Network.
And I'm thinking too, like, probably not a lot of people might actually have one. They are typically a little pricier, unless you bake a lot or make like breads or cakes or things like that. But if you have one, and if you're just making like, you know, you want to make like chicken in the crock pot or something, and when it's done, or any kind of meat when it's ready to be shredded, no matter if you have forks or claws or whatever, skip that and just put it right in the mixer and it'll be quicker.
I might have to.
Well,
you all cook anything decent at least?
I had salmon patties.
Ooh.
Is that kind of like Krabby Patties?
I guess.
Tell us a little more about it. You may have cut up.
And he's gone. And he's back.
Hello, hello.
Yes.
Yes. Salmon patties.
Have you not had salmon patties before?
Well, I've had. I have. But I was just in case. Tell us about yours, just in case it's different.
I don't know. It's like salmon, flour, some other stuff. Fried up and right nice. And yeah, it's delicious.
I've never made them. I've just had like frozen ones. So that's also what I was asking. So
that's fair. But yeah, I don't know. For some reason, like, I guess it's one of those simple foods. But it's just, oh my God, it's just been like a favorite of mine for so long.
No, I would like that for sure. I got some smoked salmon again at Trader Joe's. I went this weekend, and I like hot smoked salmon. I like cold smoked salmon too, like, you know, kind of like what you would have like lox on bagels and stuff. I like smoked fish, smoked foods, smoked cheeses. Have you guys ever had that? Smoked pizzas.
Smoked pizza is a thing?
Yes.
I'm actually not surprised. But no, I actually can't eat well-smoked, like, barbecued food. Because I have allergies to hardwoods, including oak and hickory. So if it's smoked good, yes, it's delicious. But it's like my throat is most closest, so I can't actually eat it.
Even, like, ones that are done on the pellets? Or, like, is it natural? Or is pellets still considered, I guess, natural wood when it comes to that?
I don't know. I've only had natural wood, but that's how I've known, because I used to go to a church that did like smoked barbecue chicken as like a fundraiser, and it was well smoked chicken, but oh my God, was I suffering after I ate it.
I actually get that too some days, and I don't know what it is, all the things that affect my nose, but some strong colognes that I love the smells that have like the cedar or like the woody smells in the colognes, but then I'll use those and then I start getting a little bit of nose issues. Yeah. Dang it. I can't use that one.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, it'd probably be an easy fix if I was actually on like steady allergy medication, but also at the same time, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. Just live with it.
I mean, and it's hilarious because all of the medication that I used to be prescribed when I was younger for like my nose and my allergies, they're over the counter now.
Yeah.
Like Zyrtec and Flonase was like what I was prescribed as a teenager, and you just freaking drop by Walmart and grab them now. That's crazy.
Easy access to medication.
Right? It's a little ridiculous.
There's a... have you ever used Zizol? The generic is levocitrazine. That's also over the counter now. It's a pretty strong pill.
Yeah, I've seen it, but I don't know. Like when it comes, like I said, I don't get it often, and I know Zyrtec will work for me. So if I do need it, like if it's a particularly bad spring, especially, I'll pick up a few tablets to get through those first few weeks, and then I'll be fine.
And this week's podcast brought to you by Zizol.
Right?
Get yours today.
Yeah. I did a Trader Joe's run this weekend. Try to go once a month or so because I love the place and it's close by, and got some seasonal Irish stuff. They had their uncured, but still really good quality beef brisket, or what do you call it? The that's not the name. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't think of it though.
Ah, geez, it'll come to mind. Corned beef, duh.
There we go.
Corned beef. I don't like any kind of corned beef, but I really like theirs a lot. And then I also picked up some Irish soda bread. I like their version a lot too. It's more dense, and I usually don't like raisins in bread, but when you have it in a soda bread, it's really good. It's like there's some raisins, and then it has little pieces of like caraway seed also, and like this really dense soda bread, and it's so good.
All right, on that note, I'm going to go heat up some of my remaining pork that I had left over. I'll be right back.
And you're back. The magic of non-editing.
Yeah, right.
Listener, you do not know if we edited that or not.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
I do need to, if we want to change the subject a little bit, I do need to finish WandaVision. I have not done anything more than when we last talked. So I still need to watch episode 4, and I really want to finish it, but my timing has been way off this week as far as getting stuff, other stuff I had to get done and not having the time to be able to do it.
So you better hurry up.
Okay. Yeah. So you're basically just telling us you have nothing to say yet.
Right.
Yeah, because I was about to say, this is Friday starts a whole new series.
What?
Yeah, The Falcon and Winter Soldier starts this Friday.
Oh, man.
Sin ain't got time for that. He doesn't even have time to play the game.
Now, I have been looking at alternate options for my main hustle to try to give myself a little bit more time throughout the days. So we'll see what comes together and what I can do with that.
Awesome. Hopefully it works well.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. I am hoping. If I can just do what Kingsley does every day, then I think that would be a win.
Oh, you mean nothing? I mean, sorry. No, I'm kidding. Sorry. But, hey,
I know I feel like it's nothing to me, but that's just because I enjoy what I do so much. hey, if you can, if you put in 10 plus years of fun, fanatical research on your side, no, it doesn't even have to take that long. If you really enjoyed computers and wanted to go hog wild into it, I bet you could.
Yeah, that was... How
do you enjoy it?
I do want to get my...
What?
IT work? Yay for IT work? I do want to get my website up and running so I can get to that point, because I think I'm going to make my website honed around whatever I decide there.
Yeah. I was about to say, I mean, realistically, I think school-wise goes might take 3-4 years for entry IT, maybe.
You don't even need that. That's where they get like these stack skills and other training sites you can go on to.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely training, but I mean, and I mean, good Lord, because my brother used to be, he called himself a computer tech, but I don't, he was more on the like kind of physical and software repair, sort of, you know? I don't know exactly how to classify that job anymore, because that was like 20 years ago. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, he learned through the Navy, but I mean, there's just, even though they're schooling, there's still just so much that's practical experience, I guess, and like on the job, hands-on type stuff. So no amount of schooling will prepare you fully.
Yeah, and even more so, it really just depends. I mean, there's still some places that want to see like two or three jobs worth of experience and a degree, but
yeah.
I don't know. A lot of times you probably don't even need a degree at all. And if it depends also if you really want to work for certain types of companies, work for other types, or start your own business. So that kind of answers that question differently also, what you want to do there. Because especially if you're just looking to do your own thing, dude, don't go to school. Just start jumping in right away, and you're going to waste a lot of time and money going to school, in my opinion. So, especially because if you want some very specialized training, I can give you pointers, or other people in the field can, that'd be way better than schooling.
Nice.
I hate to say it, but it'll be way closer to that practical experience like Des knows about and I know about.
I mean, it's hilarious how in some fields schooling is criminally like unpreparing.
Yeah. And then the old school thought is like, but it's still, you know, it's a good experience thing. You know, looking back, I like 40% agree with that. I don't even really think it's like necessary for that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, because back when I was working in a factory, we actually had we had this one kid come out, and he was fresh out of fresh out of the college for technician work, which was basically like robot programming and stuff. Fresh out of his first job. He thought he was prepared and he knew everything. Even though he was not familiar with our robots, he was not familiar with the teach pendants. He was not familiar with anything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny.
But everyone have different opinions. I mean, you probably know from me, Sin, I would recommend doing something that's more like less on an actual product you're trying to sell and more like on a service you're trying to sell. If you're even using the word sales at all, you know what I mean? Like some service people don't consider themselves salesmen, but they are as far as trying to talk their service to people. But
exactly.
Product is lame in my opinion, because product can have ebbs and flows. One day it's hot, the next day it's cold. And then also like supply chain issues. We all know we've seen a little bit of that with COVID this last year, and who knows what happens in the world, but like service, I mean, even when things were down, service was way up for all sorts of things, and it's continuing to be up. Yeah. That's just my opinion, but I know any good sales guy would be like, oh, we're not stupid. You'll make more money in sales, you know? So anyways.
Well, it's all selling yourself anyway.
Yeah, but I mean like sales of like product. Yeah. I think you should have sales in service, not in product, but anyways.
Yeah.
Something that's not physical, tangible, you know?
Yeah. Because, yeah, as the pandemic taught us, there is definitely another career path that can survive many situations, and that is service.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The second best hub on the net that offers quite an interesting service.
We offer you all the Destiny news that we can offer, even if there's not as much. But you know, there's some good news this week for sure. But let's talk about what we've been doing in the game. Anything?
Mine. Go ahead, Des. Mine's fairly quick, so yours might be more entertaining.
I played a bunch of Gambit.
Did you get Gilded?
Not yet. No, actually, it was hilarious because it was like I was telling, because I ran some dungeons with Lumina, and I say some, but I mean all. And I haven't really focused on Gambit, like, much at all, to the fact that I think I was only in, like, the second tier of rankings. And now I'm two objectives away from being Gilded after playing a couple more days, kind of dedicated to Gambit, so.
Solid.
I'm halfway through wins, and I need three more of the conditional crap. Either not dying, making more moats than everyone, or doing the most damage.
Yeah, that one's fairly easy. I think you'll get through that one pretty quick.
I mean, yeah, but I was actually kind of shocked to be as far along as I was, because again, normally when I play Gambit, I'm solo, not really trying. I don't really care. And the only thing I really had to focus on doing to get gilded, like, differently than just what I normally play, was invader kills, because I'm normally not the invader.
And yeah, that would be me too. Scummed
it. I totally scummed it out completely.
What'd you use?
Eyes of Tomorrow.
That's what I would use if I was trying to get that.
Yeah. Even though hilariously, most of my kills weren't Eyes of Tomorrow, but yeah.
At least you had it just in case.
I mean, yeah, there was one hilarious situation where I got a Chaos Reached by a Warlock, and then he killed me, but he had like three Eyes of Tomorrow rockets coming at him, so yeah. I'll take that trade.
Yeah, I'm at the point myself where I got to make a decision if I'm going to try to go for it or not. I know I could. I just don't know if I want to. But I've been playing more this week, and I'm getting a bit closer. I'm 20 out of 50 wins, so almost halfway. And then I haven't done any of the invader kills yet. But if I focused on it, yeah. I guess I could. And then Infamy Reset won't be too bad. I'm getting closer to that. I'm on, especially with it being triple Infamy this week. So I probably should focus on it, but again, I got to make that decision. Did you know that we are almost halfway done with the season?
Oh God, really? Wow.
Yes. So
we were closer to the start. Wow. Okay.
it started February 9th. And
oh, yeah.
As we record, it's the 14th, but one more reset, March 23rd is pretty much the halfway point. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so that's also why I was saying that. I got to make a decision soon if you get it, well, I guess, I mean, it'll always show the gilded thing because they're going to add, like, what, a new gilded two or three you can add upon it or whatever. But
yeah.
So I guess if I get it in the season, it'll still be somewhat worth it.
Yeah, because even though the gilding goes away, once you get gilding again, it'll be, like, cumulative. So people can see how many times you've gilded a title.
With that, it's like a little counter or something.
Yeah.
But only if you gild again the next season?
I believe so. Honestly, it was in the TWAB. Mm-hmm. I skipped over it because they mentioned something else in the TWAB that I had to read through, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, we'll definitely dive up the TWAB in a bit.
So happy. Anyway.
Yeah, so I have to decide on that. I know, Sin, you said you have your goal of getting the you're excited to get the Master Presage Flawless. That's kind of
because I want the emblem. The emblem is actually pretty sweet, not gonna lie.
See, I think that how it looks. I'd give you mine if you want it, if I could trade it. I actually got it last night.
Oh man.
I mean, I got it at easy mode. You still have to hit the jumps so you don't die, and I still did some work, but it was certainly a lot easier the way I got it. But I don't, I don't care about that emblem. Actually, I'm serious about that. I'm probably never going to wear it. So,
I definitely am going to wear it.
Well, I'm sure you'll get it. I mean, we can do it at some point, or.
Well, we're running out of time for the nine person presage.
But even without that, if two people know it well enough, they can run ahead. You can just stay in the background, and when there's like the ads and stuff, you just gotta, be a little Heidi so you don't get killed or whatever, and you'll be fine.
Heidi ho,
Heidi ho.
All right, let's jump in right now. Let's do it.
Do what?
Get ready, Dez. Presage.
Oh.
Get that backpack out.
Hell no, while I'm recording.
I know, right?
Get ready the good for
15 minutes of silence.
Probably by the time we're done, I should have my gilded title. I'm only two wins away from having it.
Oh, right. Nice. I am down to run some more Gambit. I should, maybe we should be running some, although I can't focus on doing well while I'm talking.
It's intense. And I try to invade, and then it's like, now I'm focusing on invading while trying to talk. Not a good combination. So
Yeah, probably your team is hating you.
Also, being a Titan main, that new chess piece for Thundercrash. Get it, use it, love it.
Oh. What is the, is it the Master or Legend?
Legend or Master. Or it's master. Either one. No. Yeah. It's either one, but yeah.
Just a higher chance on the higher one.
Yeah, and it just basically depends on what the Lost Sector is giving that day.
Yeah, Sin, I've mentioned this before. I know you're busy and you can't check it every day, but it rotates daily, and it's not that hard. You just got to look for the day that's Legend, especially on the North Europa one. It's super easy on Legend. That's the one where the frames help you and they do some shooting also. And if that's day is Legend, and of course it's a chess piece if you want, you can run, it doesn't even matter because I guarantee most people have worst case run Legend like 10 times is like the worst story I heard. But it seems like the average is more like 5 times or even less, and you'll hopefully get the drop and yeah, you can get it.
Yeah, I think it took me 3 times to get the Mask of Bacchus, so yeah.
Yeah, it's not that hard. Just look for Legend. But the Legends on the Moon can still be kind of hard, especially one I tried hopping in, the bigger one, you know, on the North Zone.
That's where it's at right now.
Do that one.
Why?
Because it's the hardest. That's why you don't want to do it.
Or do it and brag, you know, either way.
I just need to do it once just to get the chess piece. I'm hoping for a one and done kind of deal.
So just put it in context. You know, Mo, he's a pretty hardcore player. He was running that one, and it may have been Master, but still, I mean, he does good on all the Masters normally. And he said he couldn't even finish it. It was so crazy hard. So that one is a pain. And I was just running it on Legend. The Moon ones in general, I don't know, there's something about them, like even any of the Moon ones, even the easier Moon ones on Legend just seem harder to me than the Europa ones. I feel like whatever they did, they're harder. So definitely look for the Europa ones, especially that North one. I do want to talk real quick about, I mean, we know that these 6+ activities are going to be patched on Tuesday. At least Bungie told us that they will. Who knows? Maybe someone will find another way around it. But I just kind of want to talk about some experiences that I had, and if you guys want to talk about any, because it's been interesting. It's been fun and interesting and not fun at times, just depending on the things.
or how long it takes you to get in there.
Yeah. Of course, like, in my opinion, and a lot of people know this, but the best that's come out of this is doing it for the Nightfalls, right? Because you can get 6 people together fairly easily or more, and then just run like Master Nightfalls or the one right below it and breeze through them pretty easily and get your drops and run these harder Nightfalls in a fun experience that doesn't make them so hard. But then a lot of people have been wanting to do it in the raids, and so we've hopped in some with the raids, and I think the most I've had was 9 or 10 people. It's hard getting 12 together. Like I said, I knew that was going to be one of the hardest parts anyways, is actually getting 12 people. And I don't think Deepstone Crypt is any easier with more people. In fact, in some parts, as expected, we're kind of like stepping on each other's toes, especially in Atrax. I guess the end encounter, it's a guaranteed one phase versus most of the time one phase, depending on who our crew is, you know. But it's just, if you didn't get a chance to do it and you're missing out, you're feeling like you're missing out, don't worry, don't sweat about it. It's really not, other than the lulls, the party atmosphere, it's not like these raids are that much easier. We also stepped in Last Wish, at least the end part. And that one's interesting because you have to do a weird thing at the end because only 6 people can go in the little drop-down pods, you know? And so we found out we have to send the rest of the people all the way back to vault. So they're in a different zone or else it won't. Right. Remember that? So that was fine, whatever. And then we did Garden last night with a bunch of people on PC. And the thing was, though, like everyone in the crew that joined up pretty much knew the raid. So six people that know it well versus eight people, or maybe it was nine, I forget, but it really didn't seem any different. We didn't feel like in that aspect we were in that raid, we were stepping on each other's toes until, again, the last encounter, which I expected would happen a little bit. We had, love you, Gator, but there was a few times where we were all kind of like running, not knowing where to stand and trying to build the tethers. And of course, too many people are in the way. And so the tethers are like going all sorts of skiwampus directions and not, like, get out of here, get out of here. We only need two people to build right now. You know what I mean? Like, people get in each other's ways. But you can also make it easy mode. The thing that I didn't realize, it's like, duh, is like, well, if people start dying, it's still easy mode because you have so many people that can handle revives. So, yeah, in that aspect, it makes it easier. But Nightfalls, I had a lot of fun, and Master Presage, I had a lot of fun because that one is just hilarious because those ship's hallways are so narrow at times. And especially if not everyone knows the route perfectly, it's like you'll see people like crisscrossing each other, especially in, like, you know, the electric fence area with you have to jump across and then go back the other way. And people are just like running all over the place, not knowing what's going on or bumping into people or like crowding the hallways. And it's a lot of fun. I was just cracking up with that experience. So I don't know if you guys had any experiences you did with that. I feel like, Sin, you were with us for one of them, right? Was that the...
Yes, I think I did the Last Wish one.
Oh, yeah.
The Last Wish, that one was, like you said, it was definitely interesting. And then we did, I think we did DSC the same time. I think
was right before Last Wish, yeah.
But... No, I thought it was interesting because there is a lot of people, and for the most part, you don't have to overthink a lot of encounters. And then if you are sharpening anybody through, it doesn't matter, especially if you have a lot of people, like you said, that know the encounter. There's a few people that can just kind of sit back and chill through the raid and shoot some ads.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried the Nightfall or Presage. I wouldn't have mind doing that, especially... Since I am in that chase for that emblem, I think having the multiple people in the Presage would be awesome. You could have the ones that wanted to stay alive, stay back, and what I think get pulled forward for the last encounter.
So how it works is you get pulled for the Hangar Bay area. The last encounter, I don't think you get pulled, though, unless you die. And obviously you don't want to die if you want to get that flawless emblem.
Right.
So you could just still stay wherever you are if you didn't make it to the end.
Right.
And really pleb it. But I ran all the way. You know, I went to the end. And then I stayed upstairs just to be absolutely safe and was working on ad clear there while probably like half of the crew, you know, went downstairs when you needed to go downstairs for the final room.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think takeaway from this is I would like to see more larger activities, however Bungie can do it. And you wonder if, like, they must know something. They know, like, this can be done, but they don't want to test it more. And in a way, this has been a pretty good test. I don't think too many people were noticing, like, crashes or weird things, except for someone was saying, like, if in the Nightfalls, if you get more than eight or something, there'd be crashes. Okay, well, that makes sense. But then let's have more six-player activities for all sorts of things. And make them appropriately hard, of course, so that for six players. I mean, we know we've had six-player seasonal things like Sundial, Menagerie. Yep. So could we just... I mean, I know the strikes were made for three, but I wonder if they could just take some of the strikes and have harder modes and allow six people in, or just make more higher activities, but even make 8 or 10 player activities. Maybe make a raid in the future that can allow that many, or some kind of encounter. It'd be pretty fun, in my opinion. Who knows how feasible it is, but it's at least somewhat feasible from what we've seen.
Yeah, I agree. I think having the more people, 6 to 12 person activities, would definitely add an interesting dynamic to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it probably wouldn't hurt for them to try it. They've tried almost everything else at this point, from sunsetting items to taking stuff out of the game. Why not?
I remember one of the first ways people found to cheese and bring more people in to an activity was, what was the drifter gun that we had to go in that strike, the Sidira strike, but we went like a different way, you know? It wasn't Thorn, was it? But I feel like it was an exotic gun. It was part of a quest.
You're
talking about D1?
No, it was D2. Drifter. It was the quest.
Malfeasance,
yes, sorry. There was a way where people found out you could bring 6 to 9 people in that last, because you had to run a harder version of that strike. And there was a bug at the moment, and it was very easy to do. All you had to do was bring 3 people in, and then another 6 people could join on you, or at least another 3 people. And I don't know what was going on during that time, but that was kind of fun. That was like a super easy cheese thing that was going on.
I'm wondering if the bug exists because they are planning the additional persons activities like that.
Maybe, but I would have to guess more so it's just something that's been a bug for a while. I heard that I was listening to Titans and Hunter, and they were saying that Night Demon was saying he heard somewhere that people were aware of it for a while, but it was kept secret for a while in just certain communities or certain streamers or certain people, and then eventually got out to everyone. So if that's true, that my only point is that it could have been around for a while and they weren't necessarily planning this in. It was just something that took a while for more people to figure out and Bungie themselves.
Interesting.
Well, we talked about what we did. Unless there's anything else we want to talk about, we can talk about what's coming up and the TWAB.
Right after this.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
3 hours later.
Well, who wants to go through the TWAB? You got it pulled up, Sin?
Des? I have it pulled up. So, TLDR? What is in there? I don't even know. I have it pulled up, and I skimmed through it. And I was like, nah, nothing that I really care about. Grandmasters are coming next week, right? March 16th, Grandmasters. And for that, that's why they're patching this this cheese.
That's what they say, yeah.
I guess it's interesting. We'll see if it actually goes through.
It's interesting. I did have a point about this. They did not put Grandmasters on the calendar. I wonder why not. And then they told us about it. I mean, maybe they told us somewhere else, but if you look at the calendar, there's not a date for 16th, is there?
It's in game.
Yeah, well, I know.
Like, literally, if you hover your cursor over Grandmaster, it's been saying 16th.
I just feel like the more they can put on the calendar, the better. We do know the week after we're getting that new strike, March 23rd, so I was just looking at the calendar here.
I'm confused. How's the calendar better than saying in game?
No, not better. They should definitely have it on the calendar also.
But it's in game!
So the calendar can look more impressive on their marketing materials. For
screw that calendar.
Oh, no, the calendar's awesome. Like, yeah, it gets me excited when I look at it. They even talk about Iron Banners coming up. Not that I care about Iron Banners.
I was so impressive.
and all the things coming with the free versus the seasonal track. Well, anyways, yeah, Grandmasters are coming up pretty much when this comes out, this episode. Are we excited?
Adept PvE weapons, which they have confirmed one very bad thing.
What's that?
Adept Nightfall weapons will have the special mod socket to take Adept mods. But the only place you can get them is from Trials Trusts.
Oh.
Yes, Adept mods only come out of a Flawless Trials chest.
Okay.
So that'll be for a bummer. Not us.
Yeah, that's a bummer. I was kind of hoping that they would have like a set of Adept mods that drop with these weapons, but nope. Adept mods are only coming out of Trials right now, so.
Plus, do we know what any of them are, or any of them like super, super amazing?
They're basically like perks. I believe one's like some of them, very few of them are kind of like flat rates, like an extra plus 10 to range.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's one that gives like an extra 25 or so to aim assist, but takes away another stat to compensate also. So they're a lot like within their mind. They're very strong, and some of them do have a hindrance, inverted to their strength, but they're very nice.
Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of the bummer. Kind of the bummer.
Yeah.
That's not the good news. Not the good news at all. Because it'll give those people complaining about Trials something else to complain about.
That certain people will only, that can go flawless, will be the only people with these weapons, and then it's just a cycle. If the weapons have what, more range or more stability or things like that, then not that those people even need that, but they'll say, oh, they have the Adept weapon, no fair.
Right.
Well, I mean, I got, just kind of as a side point but related to this too, I got a really good rolled palindrome with quick draw and rangefinder. So I'm happy. I was testing it out, and it kind of did feel like my D1 version of palindrome.
Yeah.
But I forgot also that palindrome is now an energy weapon. I was like, what?
Oh, that's
weird. I kind of wanted it to be a kinetic.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So I should have figured, but I kind of wanted it to be kinetic because I kind of like the idea of hand cannon in kinetic slot. But I mean, because I really like fusions or shotguns or other things in my energy slot. But I don't know. I was running with it. It was pretty strong. I was running with it in the Garden Raid a little bit last night, and especially with the Void, you know, the Void Minotaurs and all that. I'm like, okay, I guess I can be okay with it being an energy.
Yeah.
So, I still don't have that one yet. I need to run more Nightfalls.
Yeah. Have you run any Nightfalls this week?
One.
Okay. That's probably why you don't have it.
Exactly.
So you still don't have it.
It felt right to say it like that.
Yeah. Jez, tell us about this power thing. Boy, this is pretty intense for the Grandmasters.
Oh, yeah. So apparently, from what I read, Grandmasters will have, of course, their, 1325? Here it is. 1350. Minimum power to enter Grandmasters, 1325. But Grandmasters now have contest mode. Which means it doesn't matter if you're higher than 1325. You're going to be at 1325.
And it's a 1350 activity.
Yup.
Kind of makes me not even want to play it. Not that I play them now anyway.
Yeah, I didn't do any last season.
Well, I mean, the only counter that we had to Grandmaster, because they've always their cap has always been pretty up there from what our, I mean, it's been up there from what we could possibly reach. But the only counter to that was your artifact, because your artifact could slowly creep you up there. But now that doesn't matter. It's 1325 in a 1350 environment, and so yeah, basically, no matter what, you're going to get your teeth kicked in.
It just doesn't sound like fun to me.
Munson, that's what you should be doing.
But also at the same time, we don't know the exact strength. I'm starting to see a lot of influx of good words being said about the new Aeon Cult exotics. So I kind of feel like they're going to be, they're still going to be like really strong for Grandmasters.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be.
Which is exactly what I thought when I read like what they do. It's just I think they've retuned the Aeon Cult to be kind of higher end activity stuff. This is just what it seemed to me, and yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And I did try that Moon. Law Sector solo, and it is a 1300, and I'm over 1300, and it does suck. So
Now you believe me?
that just makes me not even want to try the Grandmasters with the contest mode, because they will really
But
suck.
yeah. Also, even in the TWAB, they do mention at the end of it, as word on the street is that the Cult of Aeon is rising up through the ranks, helping Guardians to keep their ammunition stocked during the fight. So, considering they're dropping the hint in the TWAB,
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So yeah. So other than that, we're getting a patch this Tuesday.
Yeah, this
Yay.
Tuesday and next, but we'll talk about next in a bit.
And you heard about that secret mission too, right? Sorry, I couldn't help but troll.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty sure Sin doesn't know something that
But it made you
Sorry,
think
Sin.
about it for a second. It made you think about it for a second.
No, I was waiting to see if you were going to take back what you said. I was not thinking about
I was waiting for the extension of that statement going, oh.
it. Go on.
Sorry, Sin.
I mean, I've been fairly out of the loop for like a week and a half, so, but also at the same time, it's kind of like, yeah, but they're always predicting a new Whisper or 0 Hour.
Right.
So.
We have the new Secret Strike on March 23rd. Anyways, that wasn't that funny.
Worst kept secret on the internet.
Yes.
Because that's on the calendar. Bring
Right,
it
sorry. Go ahead
around.
and tell us about this upcoming patch.
Fallen Saber's getting some fixes. Sepix is, or Devil's Lair is getting some fixes. Linear, the Dune Marchers are apparently going to be getting their fix. Font of Might is getting a text clarification. Important news for hunters that have just recently found out about Omnioculus and how awesome it can be if you're just turning yourself invisible. That apparently was indeed a bug. So, because apparently it's supposed to be if you make others invisible, you get ability energy, not just yourself. So there were some rumors going through, or not really rumors, but I guess discussion, thoughts, whatever, that we weren't sure if it was a bug or if the text just wasn't very clear and what was going on with that exotic. So apparently a bug. Curious of the Falling Star will no longer grant an overshield when using a super other than Thunder Crash. And that's what you're looking for, Sin. Curious of the Falling Star. It's amazing.
Yeah, because that's why all the Titans are, especially these days, Thundercrash.
Yeah. I mean, it out-damages Nighthawk. It's ridiculous. A bunch of other... stuff that's kind of not really all that... Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, hold on. I thought this was kind of funny. Added Rumble to the end of Dead Man's Tail Reload. Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's the important one. I was about to make that joke. The big one. They're adding that Rumble for DMT. Not the drug, the gun. But next Tuesday, happy days. People may rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
And personally, before we even go through a lot of this, I'm going to say I think they made the right decision on this. I think they made about the perfect decision. No, because March 23rd, Stasis is getting hit with a stick.
You talk about that last little bullet point?
What last little bullet point?
There's lots
of bullet points. It's like the last bullet point that they say, Stasis. You're looking at the whole preview of the stasis points.
Yeah. On March 23rd. You know, the bold text that, you know, heads this little...
Yeah, I was looking at the bullet point just above that that says...
After a few weeks of development and playtest. We also have a round of stasis balancing, blah, blah, blah. Which they also say in the introduction of... this whole thing, which doesn't matter. I mean, if you want to know, you could read it themselves. You can go to the Twob and read it. Because, you know, talking can be hard sometimes. Anyway, Hunters, Shatterdive. As we've discussed before, they're removing damage resistance from Shatterdive. Cool. But they're also adding a 4-second cooldown. So you'll Shatterdive, and then you can't Shatterdive again for 4 seconds. Seems fair to me. As a note, Withering Blade. They're decreasing the damage that Withering Blade does from 90 to 65. But here's the kicker. A lot of these changes that they're doing, yes, it's from 90 to 65 in PvP. From what they're saying, PvE stasis is not changing.
Yeah. And
so
is Bungie's done this a little teeny bit over time, but not usually. So are they finally drawing a line where they're, I mean, the thought was always like, we want it to feel the same in PvE versus PvP, you know, but
I think stasis was that dividing line. I think, yeah. I mean, because yeah, it feels great in PvE, but it can feel a little lousy if you're not paying attention. I mean, if you're actually just looking for a casual PvP experience, stasis can kind of ruin that because you still kind of need to pay attention to people using it, and like what they're doing and things like that. So, but something definitely needed to happen in the, because with their old philosophy, it had to feel awful somewhere. But I think this, like I said, this dividing line, I think, it's going to be perfect because again, they're decreasing the slow stacks. They're decreasing the target acquisition of Withering Blade, but all of that is in PvP. Titans, they're removing the AoE freeze on cast. Still going to be there in PvE though. They are reducing damage resistance from 60%, which is a little ridiculous if you ask me, down to a normal 50. So that's great. There we go. Increasing the cost of the melee while in super from 3% of the super energy to 7%, which is very nice. And comboing it from a heavy to a light will now actually cost the energy of both, because apparently right now it only costs for the heavy, for the slam. So, yeah. That's nice. Oh, and they're increasing, going to be increasing the downward velocity applied to the Shivering Strike for the people that get hit by it. So I guess to consistently ground people, you know, instead of apparently shooting them miles out into space like Team Rocket. So yeah,
that's Team Rocket's nice. Blasting off again.
Thank you. That was Warlocks. Solid. Warlocks are actually getting a lot of, seems like a lot of buffs, to be honest.
Yeah, except for one thing, but yeah. But again, not yeah. PvE. Yeah.
They are improving the tracking of Winter's Wrath projectiles. Mm-hmm. It will basically stop tracking people. From the way I understand this, it's going to stop tracking people after 10 seconds. Before, it was stopping.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it seems kind of intense. A lot, but yeah, but it was only tracking you for 2.2 seconds before.
Yeah.
Which, no wonder it seemed pretty easy to escape from, unless they were like point blank.
And I assume this buff will be in PvE also, I hope.
I would assume so, because there's nothing saying there's a difference here.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like with the Shatter Dive. Mm-hmm. Because they don't say you're still going to have damage resistance in PvE, and there's still going to be that cooldown, so there's probably still certain fixes that are going to translate to both, but I don't know. Doesn't matter. Or to me, anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just now learning to... I've basically like just learned to Glacier Nate Shatter Dive quite consistently anyway. So yeah, they're increasing the size of the proximity detonation from 1.5 to 1.65 meters. Nothing huge. Penumbral Blast will drop its damage from 80 to 30, which is a PvP change. Ice Flare Bolts are going to be stupid. I'm just going to say this right now. They're going to be stupid. Because they fixed the bugs where Ice Flare Bolts would continuously try to switch targets. I think I've kind of seen that before, but I just didn't really realize what was going on. Because I've seen them head in a direction and just kind of like U-turn.
Yeah.
They will be increasing the target acquisition range of Ice Flare Bolts by 33%. Wow. And increase the turning speed of Ice Flare Bolts. They can more effectively hit nearby targets. And, you know, even though it's a stasis patch note, Chaos Reach, decreasing the amount of super energy refunded when canceling Chaos Reach early. Okay.
Yeah, everyone's using Chaos Reach right now in the Crucible if you're a Warlock.
I mean, okay. I just think it's funny because it's like, this is stasis tuning. But hey, yeah, also Chaos Reach.
Did they not want to create another subheading? Another category? Right.
Yeah. I think Chaos Reach being fixed is a good choice.
So yes, for generic, general, applies to everyone's stasis, Duskfield Grenade, it's not going to pull quite as hard, which I'm kind of sad for, but be it as it may. Gotta do some things to quiet the whiners, I guess. They are reducing the slow stacks applied to players on the detonation of it. It apparently put 20 stacks of slow on you on detonation. It will reduce that to 10. So they're cutting that in half, and I do definitely agree with that one. Because I think it's the slow mechanic that is directly tied to your freezing, essentially, because once the slow hits a certain point, you're frozen. So it gives you a better opportunity to get out of the grenade. And they're even reducing the slow stacks applied per tick. They're also cutting that in half. Stasis crystals, they're reducing the damage of stasis crystals that explode. They were 85 max and 55 minimum, and they will be tuned down to 55 max and 25 minimum. So hopefully they won't be able to one-shot supers anymore. Whisper of Chains. They're reducing the damage resistance bonus while in super. But while not in super, the damage resistance will stay the same. So, yeah. Then Whisper of Torment, which I think is the one... I meant to look this up before, but I think it's the one where you get grenade energy by taking damage. I think. But apparently there was a bug where players could continuously proc Whisper of Torment while standing inside an opponent's barricade. So, yeah. And then Stasis Fragment Quest. Now, here's the thing I also love is, yeah, they're doing a bunch of stuff to really, like, rein in Stasis in the Crucible. And this right here, Stasis Fragment Quest, they are significantly reducing objective completion values for all Crucible Fragment Quests. I love the fact that they're taking that initiative to, yes, they're reining it in and making it more manageable. So it's not going to be like an absolute nightmare to complete the PvP Fragment Quests. So I do like that initiative as well.
I like that a lot. It's almost like this is a Stasis 1.5 release. Enough time has passed where hopefully these are finally changes that will get a lot of the community on board. And then also the expansion's been out long enough now. Why not make some of these Fragment Quests a little bit quicker and easier to get?
Yeah. Which, I mean, hilariously, they already did. Just this season, I'm wanting to say? Or was it when... Yeah. It was this season that they've made them a little made them all a little easier, so they'll be doing that again for Crucible.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, just for Crucible. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's... I think a lot of these changes will get rid of a lot of the... Like I said, the changes to Duskfield, it's going to be more survivable. Because, you know, if you're not in the detonation, in its range when it detonates, or if you're in the range that it detonates, I'm starting to lose train of thought. Either way, it's going to be survivable, like easier to get out and easier to potentially survive a Duskfield, which is very nice. Which I guess is also why they're, I don't know, I'm kind of hoping it's not that massive of a tune to the overall pull of the Duskfield. Because I feel without that hard-hitting slow, Duskfield's going to need something to be deemed playable, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping this is a little light on, or I'm hoping it still pulls kind of heavy. Because, I mean, it's just still making it, like, a very valuable tool. I mean, Glacier Nades, like I said, as long as they don't one-shot us... testing has been done, and, like, Glacier Nades with the appropriate fragment could one-shot every super in the game, every roaming super in the game, except for the Behemoth Titan, because it's 60% damage reduction as versus everything else. So yeah, and this change should help that, but there's definitely more people more, I was going to say more qualified, that's not entirely true, they just have more time on their hands to be able to test this as soon as it goes live.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, like I said, all in all, I feel like these are really... like good and healthy changes for Stasis. Like, we'll see how it pans out, but I don't know. Seems really good.
It does. Yeah. We'll see. I'm excited to see what happens with this too. And this is March 23rd. So coming up fairly quick, a week from now, basically, when this episode comes out.
Week in some change.
Yeah. All right. We found out dinosaurs win. Moving on.
Yeah. Dinosaurs win, so you Dinobot fanatics will be able to colorize and dress up like your favorite Dinobot, maybe.
had to have known that was coming.
Yeah, had to know.
Yeah. I mean, that and I'll show my wife the designs. And the only one I really don't like out of, like, the set is the Warlock.
Yeah.
Like I said, with the right shaders and stuff, at least the Hunter and the Titan, I can, like, Transformer cosplay, but that Warlock, I don't know. That's, I don't know.
Just doesn't do it for you.
I'll just ignore it when it comes out. But even more so, the I heard some Hunters that were on the line, and it seemed like more Warlocks liked the monster one. But Titans, of course, they gave us an example just with the Titans. 81% of Titans voted Dino. Only 19% of Titans voted monsters.
I mean, that's fair because, you got to look at the choices, right? Because, for Hunters, it was probably closer because you're either going to be a Velociraptor or Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and both of those are very attractive choices. For Titans, you're either a T-Rex or kind of a crappy one-eyed monster. you know?
Yeah.
But then Warlocks, you're either the creature from the Black Lagoon or kind of crappy Triceratops. So, you know.
Yep.
I mean, it makes sense. Like,
yeah.
I feel like Hunters kind of win no matter what, but everyone else just had, like, in a Guardian game tells us anything. I guess Titans are the most abundant.
Yep. Screw the Titan. Well, let's do our sign out. So, Sin, where can people get a hold of you, good sir?
They can find me occasionally twitch.tv/SinMedia, Sin is C-Y-N, and over on Twitter at Sin_Media. Des Raven, tell the lovely folks where they can find you.
Hi, I'm Raven. I'm a Cancer. Take that as you will. But you can find me on Twitter at @DES_Raven, and of course you can find me lurking around in the Discord where I say things.
Lots of them.
Sometimes. Usually in very long bursts, like when I found out about bounce intensity and what it actually means to the stats and such. That was a fun day, actually. So, yeah.
Nice. We will do that. Hi, I'm Kingsley. I'm a Libra.
I guess I should say I'm a Pisces.
Yes, now we know all three. And you can find me as Kingsley Mac most places except for Twitter. I am MC Kingsley. But more importantly, you can find our show. Two of the best places to find it is either A, on Twitter as The Guardian Hub, or B, through our lovely website, theguardianhub.com.
The best hub on the net.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Only if Sin says that, though. If he doesn't say it 1 week, then it becomes
null and void.
Yeah.
Man, void.
It's like a warranty. It takes off the sticker if we don't say it.
Yes. If it is not, if a tree falls in the forest and you don't hear it, whatever that saying is. Yeah. Well, anyways, we really appreciate everyone who continues to tune in. This is episode 99. We're signing off, and next week will be 100. And we really appreciate it. And everyone, have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
Stay magical.
Bye.